Okay. Hi. Oh, did I have a time with this woman of the Bible. Woo! Her story reads like a soap opera. Okay, open your Bibles, please, to Mark 6, and let's read verses 17 through 29. It's really dark over here. There you go. Oh, let there be light. Okay, Mark 6, 17. For Herod himself had sent and had John arrested and bound him in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death and could not do so. For Herod was afraid of John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was very perplexed, but he used to enjoy listening to him. A strategic day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his lords and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias herself came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you." And he swore to her, "Whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you, up to half my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she came in a hurry to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And although the king was very sorry, yet because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests, he was unwilling to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded him to bring back his head. And he went and had him beheaded in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about this, they came and took away his body and laid it in a tomb. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we see this story of this woman, and there is much I want to say about her. Lord, we just ask that we would truly be a generation that seeks after you and not one that seeks after the world. Lord, help us to have clean hearts, pure hearts before you, Lord Jesus. And bless this study. I pray that the girls' hearts would be prepared to hear what you have told me, Lord, and may we walk away with some truths that we can apply to our lives, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Okay, I need to give you a little background on Herodias to set the stage here. Herodias, like her husband, was descended from a line of wicked people. Though the story in the Bible relates only one scene in her life, the beheading of John the Baptist, history can help us better understand just what kind of woman she was. Herodias' grandfather was King Herod the Great of Judea, the one who sought to destroy the child Jesus by murdering all the male toddlers two and under. Herodias' first marriage had been to her uncle Philip, with whom she had a daughter, Salome. They lived in Rome, where Philip had been exiled and disinherited because of a plot against his father, Herod the Great. Herod Antipas, Philip's brother, was tetrarch, which means leader of the fourth part, of Galilee during Jesus' time and ruled in Palestine on behalf of Rome. On a visit to Rome, he was entertained by Philip and Herodias. Are you following me so far? You've got Herod the Great is the grandpa, and then the two brothers that we're concerned with are Philip and Antipas. Okay, she marries Philip, her uncle, and she's going to be involved with Antipas. Okay, now, and her brother is Agrippa. Remember that? Paul stood before Agrippa. So Herodias, lusting for more power, has an affair with Antipas, her other uncle. persuades him to divorce his wife. She in turn divorces her husband and becomes wife to Antipas, tetrarch in Tiberias, which is the capital of the province of Galilee. How many here are heading to Israel this week? Oh my word, this is great. This is great. Well, Tiberias, remember Dana? Tiberias is on the sea, the Sea of Galilee, right there on the shore, and it's a beautiful resort. And I'm sure it's much like it was then, except for all the high-rise hotels and the cars and everything. But the sea is the same anyway, and the shore. But it is beautiful. It's a beautiful resort town. So now we find Herodias and Antipas, and I'll call him Herod, but everybody was named Herod, but you know it's Herod Antipas, living in the Galilee region, where word gets back to them of this John who is baptizing in the Jordan River and preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Do I sound like John the Baptist? I don't have a beard with locusts and honey in it, though. John was never one to mince words, and he tells Herod it is wrong to be living with his brother's wife. When Herodias gets word of this, well, you can just imagine. Okay, everybody look up here. I want you to give me your most angry face. You know, clenched lips, get real red, get your fists going. Now look at each other. That was Herodias. She was ticked. She was so mad. That was her reaction. So Herodias, you guys really look funny. Herodias was vindictive and cruel and determined to get rid of this John the Baptist. She devised a plan to do away with him involving her young teenage daughter dancing seductively before the king, her husband, and his all-male audience at his birthday celebration. Now, some commentators say that the suggestion of a seductive dance is not in the Bible story. Actually, Richard Strauss composed an opera called Salome, based on this story, and has her perform the dance of the seven veils, right? Very seductive, but still not biblical. Some even suggest Salome was a young girl and did more of a recital dance, like Shirley Temple doing on the Good Ship Lollipop, you know. On the Good Ship Lollipop, it's a nice trip to the candy shop. So some think it was like that, right? No. Can you imagine shoving your little girl all primped and pretty into a stag party full of drunks? No. Yeah. Besides, Herod did love Salome's performance, and he loved it so well that he offered up to her half of his kingdom, if she wished. Now, if she did do that lollipop thing, I think she would have requested for a pony instead of what she had to request, but anyway. But I do believe you can toss that Good Ship Lollipop version right out the window. Besides, one commentator said that a well-known Christian denomination based its rule for no dancing allowed on these verses. So I asked Pastor Gary if Christians can dance, and he said, some can, some can't. You gotta love Gary's sense of humor. He cracks me up. Anyway, Herodias' plan was to lure Herod into such a frenzy that he would make some rash offer, and her scheme worked. She was about to get her revenge on the man who dared to point out her sin. Well, let's stop here for a moment. Man's natural instinct, the carnal man with his old nature, wants revenge when hurt in any way. You know, even the score, return evil for evil. This was Herodias' reaction when confronted with her sin. But you gotta love this fellow John, right? He called sin, sin, even when he knew it might cost him his freedom or even his life. But Herodias sought revenge on John the Baptist for the wrong done her. She became his judge. But how should a Christian react? I know this is one of your homework questions, and I'm hoping you really put some thought into answering it. Let's face it, we all sin. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Whether the Holy Spirit convicts us or a concerned brother or sister in the Lord confronts us, our first response must always be one of humility and self-examination. Romans 2:4 asks, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" God will judge us, ladies. According to 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 15, every man's work shall be made manifest. God will allow our works to be judged by fire to see whether they're of gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Since God is judge, it's also his prerogative to take vengeance, that is, to mete out the appropriate consequences for sin. According to 1 Peter 1:17, judgment of all men is plainly the office of God the Father. However, in John 5:22 and 23, Christ reveals that the Father has chosen to commit all judgment to the Son. Therefore, if we allow God's word to judge us now, if we accept it, believe it, and act upon it, we will, as those who have been born again, take part in the first of three final judgments which the Bible describes. This is the judgment seat of Christ as mentioned in Romans 14:10 and better described in 2 Corinthians 5:10, which says, "For we believers must all appear before the judgment or the bema seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. At this time our works will be revealed, and rewards or crowns given accordingly." Therefore, as we allow God's word to judge us now, we will escape the ultimate wrath of God, needing only to stand before the judgment seat of Christ for judgment of works, not for eternal salvation. Those who don't allow the word of God to judge them in this life have a judgment awaiting them. It's the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20:11-15. There we find those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life being judged and then cast into the lake of fire. All this said, please leave vengeance to God. He is fair and he is holy. Now, I had mentioned earlier that Herodias was descended from a line of wicked people. Evil begets evil, and only Jesus can break that curse. I find it appalling that Herodias used her teen daughter to get her revenge on John the Baptist. Look what she was teaching that impressionable young lady. Manipulation, vengeance, sexual enticement, deception. I mean, really, this little girl had to accept John's head on a platter and bring it to her mother? Just like Nancy's face. Ew! I'm afraid that unless there was a changed heart through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Salome grew up to be just like her mother. What a lesson to learn in raising our children. If we fail to teach our children God's ways, their teacher will be the world and its immoral, unethical, disgusting value system. Look at the influence Herodias had on those around her. Even though her husband and daughter committed this horrible crime against John the Baptist, they were merely tools of Herodias. She was actually more responsible than either of them for the outrage because she had planned it. Liz Curtis Higgs, in her book, Really Bad Girls of the Bible, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but it is a great book. Funny. Oops. She describes it this way. Herod had offered his stepdaughter up to half his kingdom and instead gave her something worth infinitely more, a man's life. John the Baptist, the last of the Hebrew prophets, he who came to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus, lost his head to a manipulative woman who used her daughter's innocence and her husband's pride to buy her freedom from hearing the voice of her detractor ever again. Instead, John the Baptist was the one eternally set free by his martyrdom, while Herod and Herodias were imprisoned in their sin, doomed to hear the voice of the accuser forever. Proverbs 12:20 says, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil." History relates that after this, Herodias became so jealous of the power of her brother, Agrippa, who had been made a king, that she induced her husband to demand of the Roman Emperor Caligula the title of king himself. But Agrippa sent word to Caligula that Antipas, Herod, had been plotting with the emperor's enemies. When Caligula questioned Antipas or Herod and Herodias in Rome, he was not satisfied with the answers of the guilty pair. Instead of making Herod Antipas king, Caligula took from him even the title of tetrarch and added Antipas's territory of Galilee to Agrippa's kingdom. The emperor banished Herod Antipas to Gaul, and Herodias went with him, even though she was offered her freedom. I guess she had to draw the line at marrying her brother. Herodias was power-hungry and her selfishness unbridled. Her misguided ambition led to her demise. At each crossroad in her life, she could have made a better decision. She could have realized the direction in which she was going was only going to lead to disaster. But she had a hunger for this world, and most likely, because she was born into royalty, she decided she was entitled to a better life. She was not satisfied or content with what she had, but consistently schemed for ways to get more of whatever she desired with no concern for whoever got in her way. Unfortunately, Herodias, seething with anger, hatred, cruelty, vengeance, bitterness, and evil, lived every day in a hell of her own making. So what lessons can we learn from Herodias? Again, I'm going to take these points from Liz Curtis Higgs. Number one, if someone gently points out your sin, don't chop her head off. It's a mark of maturity to admit when we're wrong and to welcome the kind of loving, gentle correction our Heavenly Father gives us. Next time such reproof comes from the Lord or one of his most trusted servants, let's pray for humility, wisdom, and a teachable, non-Herodias spirit. Job 5:17 says, "Blessed is the man whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty." Number two, pointing out someone else's sin may get your head chopped off. When the opportunity arises to draw attention to another person's disobedience, think carefully. Not many, if any, of us are as holy or as righteous as John the Baptist. He was called by God to a specific work of preaching repentance. We are called over and over to love one another and bear one another's burdens. As parents, we are charged with the task of correcting our children when they sin. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to resist judging and to put our own lives in order first. Matthew 7:5 says, "First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, I'd like to add something here. I want to point out that Scripture does tell us how to confront a brother or sister in sin, and that is found in Matthew 18:15-17. James also encourages us to let a sinner know if he has strayed from the truth, and that's in James 5:19-20. Just be sure to pray first and ask the Lord for guidance. Okay, number three, pleasing others can get you in trouble. Because his daughter pleased him, Herod made a reckless promise to please her, an offer that cost a man's life, and ultimately, perhaps his own. Those of us who are people pleasers have a difficult task ahead of us, letting go the need for approval. Pleasing people is exhausting at best, dangerous at worst. Let's go for a new goal. Let's please God. Galatians 1:10 says, "If I were trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." In number 4, anger and revenge are bad for your digestion. Herodias was a woman who ignored the consequences of her actions. She fed her lustful desires until they destroyed her first marriage. She fed her anger until it consumed her and resulted in an unholy beheading of an innocent man. Yet she was always hungry, manipulating those around her to feed her need for more power, more worldly goods, more control. Wise is the woman who studies carefully everything Herodias did and does the exact opposite. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." May I encourage you, ladies, to not clutter your minds with the things of this world. Be content with what God has given you. Don't let magazines, TV, the internet, or one-upping your neighbor lure you into thinking there is more out there for you just for the asking. Ask yourselves each time you are tempted, what eternal value does this have for me? Fill your minds with the good stuff in Philippians 4:8 and allow God's peace to fill you. Let's pray. Jesus, you warned your disciples to be careful of what they were hearing. For the measure of thought and study given to the truth they heard would be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back. We pray for what we learn each week at this study to sink deep into our hearts so that we can live out these truths. We desire more virtue and knowledge in our lives to apply and to share with those around us. Help us not to judge others, to not allow bitterness, rage, or anger to dwell in our hearts. Make us forgiving women, applying your love and mercy and grace to each situation that arises. And we pray these things in your most precious and powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.